reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the hill, there he sat down and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to speak. This is what he taught them. How happy are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy the gentle, they shall have the earth for their heritage. Happy those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Happy those who hunger and thirst for what is right, they shall be satisfied. Happy the merciful, they shall have mercy shown them. Happy the pure in heart, they shall see God. Happy the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. Happy those who are persecuted in the cause of right, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people abuse you and persecute you, speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. This is how they persecuted the prophets before you. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a phrase in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness. Not a bad thing in itself, but a little paradoxical compared to Christ's idea of happiness. Indeed, the Bible's idea of happiness. In the Bible, the happy person is the one who does the pursuing. They pursue something else. The paradox of biblical happiness is it's not something you attain to or achieve or find at the end of the journey, but rather what makes you go on the journey in the first place, makes you able to make the journey, to find your way home. The Beatitudes, the blessed or the happy, is very reminiscent of the first psalm, happy the man who walks not in the way of sinners. It's a man who's promised the possibility of flourishing. Not so the sinners, they like winnowed chaff shall be driven away by the wind. The happiness of the psalm, the first psalm, is a happiness of someone who believes in the possibility of going in the right way to the right place. That's why it's the first psalm. It's a psalm that explains all the other psalms, all the complexity of the griefs and joys of a life of faith. But it's a complexity simplified by this concept of belief and hope, happiness. The happy man walks in the right way. Now, if you look at Christ's Beatitudes, they too are about the now, the future, and the end. The present tense followed by the future tense. Happy are the poor, happy are the gentle, happy those who mourn, happy are the merciful. They shall have the earth for their heritage, they shall be comforted, they shall be satisfied. This is bracketed by two presents. How happy are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy those who are persecuted in the cause of right, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Present and future. Kingdom of heaven is within you, as Christ says, in a sense already present. But then, we're not in heaven. And the happiness we have is a happiness that makes us pursue things, makes us go forward in the right way, and believe in the possibility of ending the journey. The Beatitudes, therefore, is about the future, coming from the present. It's only two tenses that matter. The past is gone. In confession and repentance, we get rid of the past. Now and then, the only two times that matter. So, the poor in spirit seek the kingdom in heaven. The gentle shall have the earth for their heritage. That means they'll have it as a gift. Heritage is a gift, a kind of gift. And it's they shall have the earth for their heritage. Very different from he shall have the earth for his heritage. Because it's shared. One world. Those who mourn seek comfort, but they won't just seek comfort. They also reject the wrong kind of comfort. They reject the false comfort that makes them indifferent, makes them unable to care or to share in the pain of the world. The comfort of God is the only comfort they seek. Those who hunger and thirst for what is right, well, there you can clearly see it's an idea of yearning for something ahead of us, going ahead. And they shall be satisfied, but only by what is right. Happy the merciful, they shall have mercy shown them. That's the deal. forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against others, sin against ourselves rather. Mercy for us is in our heart, but it's also a desire for mercy, because we know that we can neither forgive or be forgiven properly without God. We can be nice to people, we can let go of their sins, but we can't give them redemption, salvation, hope even, without God, God's mercy. Happy the pure in heart, they shall see God. As long as our minds are distorted, our hearts are unwhole, unhealthy, as long as we're not able to see goodness and truth at all, we can hardly see God. But the purity of heart that God offers us makes us long to see the true meaning of all things, the true goodness of all things. We need to see God, to see what God has made truly as it is made. And the peacemakers. All through life there is conflict, not just wars, but arguments, mean things, mean-spirited ways of behaving. All through life we are making divisions. Peace is to be made. And there's no ambiguity about this in the original Greek. It's make peace. We build peace. They shall be called sons of God because we're born into heaven. We die and rise again. We are people who have made this world into a womb out of which we can choose to be born, or refuse to be born. Choose to be children of God and sons of God. Don't apologise for the maleness of this. Sometimes we should all have that sense that the sons of God make peace as opposed to the sons who make war. I think it's deliberately masculine to show that true masculinity does involve a desire for peace, not fear that makes us seek peace, but the belief that peace is the truth. God is at peace, so can we be. And then we face persecution, the cause of right, because we have to do this individually. We have to go forward as individuals to become a people. We don't start as a people and then find individual freedom. We start in freedom as individuals and become a people, become one. And so happiness isn't so much something we pursue as something that makes us want to pursue, able to pursue, believe in the possibility of pursuing the things that are God's, His kingdom. The kingdom is with us always. We're not always in the kingdom, not always with God, even when God is with us. But be happy and trust. We know where we're going. We don't know how to get there, but we know we can get there, because He is with us always to the end of time.